Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome. Thank you for tuning in on this evening. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining me this evening. Today is June the 18th, 2012, and we are just moving right along in the month of June, I tell you. Again, thank you for joining me. Victory Against All Odds is a radio talk show for the family. where we talk about some of the struggles and obstacles that families face as it relates to the issues of child abuse, depression, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, and sexual abuse. This also includes the residue that flows from the issues of life concerning these matters mentioned. So let's talk. Grab your paper and your pen. And if you would like to get in touch with me or write, please do so at Victory Against All Odds, P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27611. Again, that's Victory Against All Odds, P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27611. If you desire to email me with questions, concerns, please do so at odds, O-D-D-S, underscore, against, underscore, the letter U, at yahoo.com. Again, that's odds, underscore, against, underscore, the letter U, at yahoo.com. Please email me if you have questions or concerns or you need assistance. If you need a referral, I am more than happy to do so. In the subject line, simply put BAAO, and I will respond accordingly. If you would like to call me on the confidential voicemail, Victory Line confidential voicemail, please do so at 641-715-3900. Again, that's 641-715-3900, extension 343-658#. Leave a detailed message. You may leave a detailed message up to an hour, and I will get in touch with you as soon as possible. Thank you again for joining me, those that are in the chat room and those that will be joining us in the studio in a little bit. I wanted to continue our discussion on this evening as we've been talking about the crisis of suicide in America. On last week, we did talk about the establishing a relationship, identifying and clarifying what the problem is. And just to review for those that may be joining for the first time, we identified what suicide is, which is the deliberate act of self-destruction in which the chance of survival is uncertain. And we also talked about some of the causes of suicide. We also discussed suicide has been throughout time. We went to the scriptures. We went to Judges 9 and 54. We also talked about Saul. Saul committed suicide, 1 Samuel 31, 1 through 6, and Saul's armor bearers as well. And we talked about 2 Samuel 17 and 23. Abithal, he also committed suicide. So this is just some history in reference to suicide, and that suicide has been around for quite some time. I have an article here just to talk about suicide and the statistics. Went to an awesome training today. One person commits suicide every 17 minutes throughout the day. So if you are listening and this show is an hour long, calculate how many people will have died or committed suicide by the time we end this show. Do your calculation. Okay, we're going to wanted to just share as we talk about suicide in America. Most of you know Don Cornelius. Don Cornelius was the founder of Soul Train, and wanted to just share the article that was dated February the 1st, 2012. Don Cornelius' death was self-inflicted. Gunshot wound had been drawing new attention to the dark side of the Soul Train founder. Cornelius was 75, plagued with health problems in the last three decades of his life. He underwent 21 hours of surgery or operation in 1982 to correct congenital malfunctions in blood vessels of his brain. His personal life also suffered. In 2008, he was arrested for felony domestic violence against his estranged wife. whose name was Victoria Avila Cornelius. In 2009, he pleaded no contest to one count of corporal injury resulting in traumatic conditions of his spouse, which was put on probation for 36 months and ordered to pay over $1,000 in fines. So she also filed multiple restraining orders against him. As you know, as we have been building on this series, we talked about the many causes and the many factors that lead to suicide. So I'm reading this in particular for a reason, just so that you can see how this has kind of plagued America and why we are in a crisis. Most of you who may listen may know Smokey Robinson. He put a statement out saying that Cornelius brought exposure to black talent and a positive image to young black teenagers that had ever been seen before. Quincy Jones called his friend, colleague, and business partner a visionary pioneer and a giant in the business. So it was just disheartening to hear of such sad news of such an awesome man who has set legacy for so many people. But he did commit suicide at the age of 75, and just wanted to just bring exposure to that as we continue our discussion on suicide in America. So we're going to continue. I want you to grab your paper, your pen, and I also want you to grab your tool. Remember, we're using tools. The tool is discernment. So grab your tool for discernment, your pen and your paper, and we're going to get ready and dig up some dirt. Okay, so are you ready? All right. And again, if you are listening for the first time, I do encourage you to go back and listen to part one as well as part two so that you'll be ready to put it all together. Okay, so last week we were talking about the various ways of suicide is communicated. This evening we're going to dig up some dirt to help us identify the risk factors regarding suicide. So we're going to dig up dirt. The first letter in dirt is D. D stands for dangerous. The greater the danger in the attempt, the higher the current level of risk that suicide is going to occur. The next letter is I. I stands for impression. Impression is of the degree of risk. If the person is honestly believed that he or she would die because of what the person did to harm him or herself during the attempt, then the present level of risk is high. Now, here, we still need our tool of discernment. Why? Why do we need our tool of discernment? We need it to be able to discern the degree of risk in case you don't necessarily know that individual or a personal level, then this is where this tool is a valuable asset. The next letter is ARA. ARA stands for rescue. If the chances were good that the person would be rescued, or if she or he assisted in his or her own rescue in any kind of way, then the present level of the risk is lower. So the risk then here is not so high because they participated in their own rescue. The last letter is T. T stands for timing. The more recent the attempt, the higher the current risk of the suicide. Now, when you put D-I-R-T together, you get dirt. But here is the most important thing I want you to get out of that, is that your discernment definitely is a valuable tool here. One is because of timing. Timing is of the essence. And impression. We have to understand and discern the danger, the impression, and the timing. So just be discerning as we talk about that. Remember, we also stated in the beginning that suicide is a tragic drama in the mind. So this is why we desperately need our discernment tool to assist in helping free this people or this person from the drama that has been playing in their mind. Now, I want to take a side note because the question may be, well, what is drama? Okay? So let's look at that. What is drama? In their mind. This is drama in their mind. So a way of looking at this would be, as far as drama is concerned, is a way of relating to the world in which a person consistently overreacts to or greatly exaggerates the importance of benign events. Now, the key word here is overreact or greatly exaggerate. So, again, our tool of discernment, we need this. It is essential to counteract this overreactment because suicide happens when the psych ache is deemed unbearable and death is actively sought to stop the flow of the event happening in their conscious or, if you will, in their mind. So we must kill the drama. Now, let me take a side note again, and let's go back to, because you heard me say, psych ache. And we understand that psych ache is the hurt, the anguish, or the ache that takes hold in their mind. So we know it is intrinsically a psychological, painful, excessive fault. Shame, feel, guilt, fear, it is anxiety, it is loneliness, it is dread of growing old or dying. So we need to be discerning, and that is our tool. Now, one of the things that we also talk about, and I'm just kind of a little bit backtracking here just to kind of get you filled in, and trying to get under the dirt. We're going under the dirt. We're digging. We're digging under the dirt. And then we're going to go back to what we're talking about today. But I just wanted to plug in some reminders, since we're on part three and this was part one, that some take their lives. Suicide is a heartache or a psychache, I should say. So some take their life because their needs. Remember, we're trying to get to the root. So we have to go, in order to find roots, if you think about a tree, in order to get to the root, we've got to dig up the dirt. So let's go under the dirt. So what is lacking? What are we looking for? The need for love, acceptance, longing. All of this has been warped. The need for control. Predictability. Let's stop right there for just a minute. Some time ago in one of the episodes, we talked about our children. We were talking about child abuse, and we were talking about our generation. What does our future look like? And one of the things we talked about was serve and return. Serve and return is really predictability. If you think about it in form of tennis, I serve you the ball, you serve me back. So it is you. I'm predicting that you're going to serve me the ball back the way I served it to you. So predictability is serve and return. If I serve soft, I get a return soft. If I serve hard, I get a return hard. But what does this look like when there is no return? If the child is serving and there is no return, what message are you sending to that child? So then that goes back to the need, acceptance, and belonging. Let's continue. All right, so we said the need for control, predictability, and arrangements have been fractured. As it relates to the need for achievement, autonomy, order and understanding, which are also not met. These things are not met. Some key relationships have been ruptured, which is often tied into frustration, need for nurture, and affirmation. So when we talk about Don Cornelius, We talk about a relationship that was ruptured. You know, he divorced his wife. So even though, according to the news, he perhaps was the abuser, in his mind, he still sees the end result as a relationship rupture, which is often tied to frustration and against that need for nurturing. But now we know that we have to tie in the feeling. Self-image has assault. They are trying to avoid shame, defeat, humiliation, disgrace, and those needs are not met. So let's go back to where we left off. So these are things that we are digging under the dirt to figure out where is the root of the problem. But here's another key. When we pull up roots, what do we get? We get extensions of the main root. Just like we do a tree at the top has branches, so does the root. The root has its main vein, and there are extensions to those roots. So that means there is usually more than one vein or more than one problem, and it's just been laced. It has layers to it. So there are chains of events that seem to be going, that are piling up. So now this person feels like they have no other option other than to take their life. So let's get back on track. Okay, so you remember, we don't ask the why question. And what do I mean by that? Don't say, why would you want to do something like that? That is not the question. But instead, we ask, how? This is going to seem really crazy, but I guarantee you this is the way of choice. Instead of asking them why would you not ask them why? You know why? You're putting them in a state of judgment. You're judging them. That's what they're hearing, that you are judging them when you ask them, why would you want to do something like that? You've put that person, they already are not trusting. You know, remember, their needs are not being met. So this is what they're hearing. Instead, ask them how. How would you harm yourself? The answer will provide you quickly. If the person has a plan of attack. So remember, under the dirt, we're looking for answers. Under the dirt is where the root of the problem is. So when you ask, how would you harm yourself, you're getting to the root of the problem. Okay. This takes you straight to the dirt. So we are digging and getting to the roots. I said roots with an S. Focus on what the person is feeling. This is where you pick up your tool of discernment and assist him or her in clarifying those feelings. There's going to be more than one. Our job as ministers, as clergy, as professionals and friends in the church, out the church, on the street, as you minister, as you go about your day, on the job, in the store, is to find those roots, label those roots, and then you reflect using your tools and identify the vein that supplies life to this enemy called suicide. Amen? Again, I'm going to say that. Again, I think that was just very important. Very, very important. Very important. You don't ask why. Why would you want to do something like this? But instead we ask how. How would you harm yourself? This answer goes straight to the root. If the person has a plan of attack, it takes you straight to the dirt. We are digging to get to the roots. Focus on what that person is feeling. Use your tool of discernment and assist him or her in clarifying them. Find those roots. Label them. Reflect using tools and identify the vein that supplies life to this enemy called suicide. Okay, we're going to move on. Okay, so now we want to remember that this person is overwhelmed, they feel helpless, they feel broken, and they may not necessarily know exactly what the problem is because there may be more than one. So our job is to begin to construct a specific plan for solving whatever that problem is. And when we understand, or if that person, when we understand the nature of the problem the person is trying to cope with, then we can understand more about his or her strengths and their weaknesses. So if the person calls or they just want to talk, then remember, our job is to just listen with as little interruption as possible. Just listen. And when in order to help them, then we need to know what to say. Remember, we talked about the type of questions and how to ask those questions. You seem to be depressed much of the time. How much have you been depressed over the past few weeks? When do you get depressed? Have you ever thought that your life was just isn't worth living? Don't be afraid to talk about this openly. Don't be afraid to say the word suicide. Don't be afraid. It's critical in you using your tool of discernment. You may need to just go there. Ask them, have you contemplated suicide? You seem a little sad. You seem a little depressed. It should be discussed openly in a non-moralistic manner. Don't make the person feel condemned. Don't make them feel ashamed. They already feel ashamed. So make sure that you discuss this using your discernment, and you remember the most important word is help. And other than that, we need to give them some hope. Remember, hope is the most important word. They need to know that there is hope and that there is help. So we are providing help and hope. Remember, they feel helpless. They feel helpless. They are needing help, and they are hopeless. They see no hope. They feel like that they are not worth their salt, and that is absolutely, positively furthest from the truth. Suicide is not a moral issue for the suicidal person. They're not thinking about the moral portion. They're just crying out for some help. For the most part, it is the result of stress. Don Cornelius was stressed out. He had the loss of a wife. His health was loss of his health, and then he had court issues on top of that. So as you talk about an onion, we would need to peel those onion layers away and get to those roots. So digging in the dirt is a good thing. We have to get in the dirt to identify what those problems are, and then we can begin to get somewhere. Also, don't be afraid to ask questions regarding the aftermath of their proposed suicide. So then we're going to ask them questions like, are you going to be missed? Will anyone miss you? Be prepared for that person to tell you no. They're probably going to say, nobody will miss me. And if they say that, then ask them how certain they are about that. Are they 70% certain? Are they 80% certain? Are they 100% certain? So ask them, tell me about the times in your life when people would miss you if you were gone. And who are these people? Now, mind you, you are gathering information still. We are still gathering information. So as they're talking, you're still gathering information. If this person didn't give you this information beforehand, now you've got contact, people that they're connected to, people who care about them. Write it down. You have what changed? Who do you want to miss you now? What could turn this around for you at this time? These are kind of questions that you ask. So now that you know the questions you ask, we need to clarify what the problem is. So this is the time where, as you hear those feelings, we need to literally, verbatimly, give those same feelings that they gave you back to them. I hear you say you are sad. I hear you say you are lonely. I hear you say you feel sick. I hear you say, don't interpret the feeling. Give them the feelings that they gave you so that they can hear themselves. This also lets them know that you are listening. Because at this point, the person, perhaps after you've made your assessment, after you have gone in to assess the risk level, you need to make sure that this person knows that you are listening. So you're going to reflect the same feelings that they gave you back to them. This is building rapport. This is building trust. Now, we're going to go to clarifying those problems. So now we've heard, now we're going to clarify. Remember that the suicide rate rises with their age and that men are more likely than women to follow through with suicide. Why is this? Why men more than women? Answer, it is the choice of weapon used, if you will. Men are more likely to use a more deadlier process, meaning they're more likely to use a gun. I'm just going to use that as an example. Women usually are not that volatile, so women tend to take pills. So that is why men are more likely than women to follow through, because go back to Don Cornelius. He shot himself. And so that is the reason why. Older single males are more vulnerable. Younger females are less likely to carry out their plan. Okay? So persons that are suffering from alcoholism, I don't know why I can't talk today, are considered a high risk. Why are people who suffer from alcoholism more likely or are at higher risk? It's because alcohol is a depressant. And if you think about it, when you were younger, teens or young adults tend to go drink when they're upset. Say they're in school. I'll just use that as an example. They fail a test, or they broke up with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. What do their friends tell them to do? Come on, let's go out and get a drink. Wrong answer. Because it is, you feel worse after the fact the next morning than you did in the beginning. Alcohol is a depressant. So that is the reason. Spontaneous or sporadic drinkings are more vulnerable to suicide than a chronic heavy drinker. Alcohol often serves as a defense against pain and then becomes a source of a new pain. Because if the pain is unbearable, it in the sober state, suicide may be their choice. That is why. Number two, let's talk about history of suicidal behavior. So this is why we're clarifying the problem. It is important to try to determine if this person has attempted suicide more than one time or if this is their first attempt. The more recent the onset of the suicide behavior, the better the chance to prevent it. Okay? So, at the same time, the need is greater for active intervention. An extensive pattern of suicidal behavior will require, of course, long-term therapy. We get that. Make sure that there is help in place. This is why we need resources. This is why we need to be ready. He or she will probably at some time, if they continue and this is not their first attempt, they will attempt and to the point at one point in time they succeed. This is critical because more attempts, the higher the chances of being successful. So this is why intervention is absolutely essential. Number three, evaluate the suicide plan. Remember, as you ask the questions, the question was, how? That's why it's important to ask the how will you harm yourself? Because when we do this, we're evaluating the suicide plan. And there are three phases to that. How lethal is it? You're learning how lethal that plan is. When the person has admitted planning to end their life, you ask, how are you thinking of killing yourself? The harsh words bring home the reality of the situation. Shooting or hanging are considered like the most lethal methods. Barbiturates and carbon monoxide, those are second. Other methods are explosives, knives, poisoning, drowning. So these are the kinds of things that we are listening for. The next plan or part of evaluating the suicide plan is how available is it? How easy do they have access to carry this plan out? What do they have to go through in order to carry this plan out? So if a gun or a bottle of pills is at hand, the risk is greater. Ask what kind of pills are available and where are they. If he or she has a gun or if they said that they were going to use a gun, ask them, do they have a gun? Do not be shy. And then you ask, where is the gun? And then you ask them, do they have bullets? So just make sure that you are very thorough and you're being very specific about this plan, which leads us to number three, be specific. How specific is this plan? Has this person worked this plan out in detail? The more detail that they give you, the higher the risk. If the person says, I have 100 pills here and I'm going to turn on the gas, and that they've covered the cracks around the doors and that the windows are so that the gas will stay in, then we know that we need to be calling 911. Basically, that's what that means. If the person says he or she has to go out and get the pills or that they have to go out and buy a gun or a hose for the car exhaust, then the risk is a little bit lower. We've got something to work with. At least you have evaluated the plan, and you have also assessed the seriousness of the plan. And then that means we are in the dirt. We are in the dirt. Remember that even when you're talking with the person who has this plan, even though we have talked to this person and that they have a plan in place, we want to make sure that that they still call. We want to make sure that there is some type of we want to call someone. We want to make sure that there is someone there. We want to call 911. We want to call a relative or a friend. We need to get the attention of someone else involved in this plan, especially if the person is having a lethal and a specific plan in place. We need to alarm someone, call 911, call their family, call their physician, call their minister, a brother, a sister, their family physician, and this is why we need to have obtained this information. Because by the time we get to the, evaluating what their plan is, based on how specific this particular plan is, and if they've worked out the details, we need to be on the phone. Okay. All right. Let's talk about all right, number four, after we've evaluated the suicide plan, we're going to talk about stress. This must be evaluated from that person's point of view. So, again, we are hearing, we are listening, we are discerning. They're the ones that are evaluating the stress from their perspective. To you, it's not as much as significant, but to them, it is everything. If the person has experienced loss, reversal, or even successes, it could be creating stress or strain. So just so we need to evaluate, let that person evaluate the stress in their life. Number five, their symptoms. What are the symptoms in this person like? Are they depressed? Are they drinking? Are they alcoholic? Are they agitated? Are they psychotic? Remember that agitated depression is the worst symptom. That's the almost the worst combination. The stress factors and the symptoms are high, you must really be on the phone pretty fast. So, in other words, what I'm saying is, if the person is agitated, and agitated depression, and then on top of that, lace it with the fact that their stress level is high, we need to be on the phone. So we talked about the stress factors, and we talked about their psychic evaluation, if you will, or their agitation, you know, their symptoms. What are those symptoms? Oh, then we're going to talk about their resources. What resources does this person have available to help? What resources do we have? What resources do they have? Do they have friends? Do they have family that are nearby? Do they have counselors available? And so we need to be able to figure out what resources they have in their community, at their job, their friends, their relatives. Does the person have a place to stay? So if these resources are not in place, that increases the risk factor. If a person is remaining at home and that environment is not healthy. So if the environment is not healthy, then the environment is sick. It would be better for him or her to be cared for by somewhere else. That means that if their house or their home is not a healthy environment, they need to be removed from that environment. That makes them vulnerable. The person may need to get away from their parents' house or their spouse or whatever that thing that is contributing to the problem. The person is living in a depressed environment, a negative environment, an environment where their self-esteem is constantly under attack. then we need that needs to be removed. If that's where we can remove the stressors, if we can remove that healthy, that sick environment, then remove them. What about their lifestyle? If the lifestyle is unstable, if there's a history of them losing their job, if there's a history of them not able to obtain a home, if they're always moving, if they're drinking, if they have impulsive behavior, this makes the risk higher. So this is their lifestyle. So these are questions. This is what we're doing under the dirt. We are identifying those roots. Next, communication with others. Has the person cut himself or herself off from the people, the friends, the family, the church, the community? Are they missing work? Are they not answering the phone? You know, do they have a routine where they every Tuesday night go to the movies, or every Friday night they were meeting with friends? Have they shifted in their communication? This brings the risk factor up. Are they staying in touch with their friends? You know, did they call their mom or their dad or their sister every day, and no longer are these things being done? Or if you see a decrease in the activity and the communication, this makes the risk high. And last, we're going to talk about their medical status. If there's no physical problem, the risk is less. But if there's some illness, some injury, we need to talk about it, find out how serious it is. Is it really the case, or is it merely in the person's mind? Remember, we're talking about psychache. You know, how serious is it really? Has the person seen their physician? Have they been diagnosed with a terminal illness, as in Don Cornelius' case? Remember, Don Cornelius had multiple operations, and it was terminal. So here's another thing. If they have a terminal illness, that makes the suicide a way of eliminating their pain for themselves and the expense for their family. Because when you are terminally ill, of course, then we're talking about medical doctors. So we want to make sure that we have dialogue about their medical expenses, insurance, being a burden on their family. You know, because when we talk about terminal illness, then we've got to talk about how dependent have they become. You know, is someone else now taking care of them? Has someone else now having to provide for them? Are they mobile? Are they able to do, you know, how much pain are they really in? And, how much money is this costing them? What are the expenses? And, if you know, how their family is coping with all of this. So this is just their medical status. And so we want to be mindful of these things. We want to use our tool of discernment. We want to be able to assess. We need to be able to not be afraid to communicate. We must not be afraid to actually say the word suicide. Now, let me flip this for just a moment. Let's just say that you are not able to do that, because we know ourselves. If you are not able to ask that question, then by all means, quickly find someone who can. It is better that you find someone who can. And when I say find someone who can, I'm not talking about the next day. I'm not talking about 3 hours from now. I'm talking about immediately. This is why it is important that those that are around you be ready and equipped. If you are an organization, make sure that your team members are equipped, that they're ready to handle emergencies. If you are on the job, at least one or two people need to be ready to handle such a conversation, have the resources available, be able to ready to pick up the phone, know where those resources are, find someone who is able to get that person immediate help, call 911 if the risk is extremely high, or if you are in a ministry, your leaders, your ministers, your administrator needs to be prepared, need to be prepared to handle that unexpected walk-in phone call. Reason is because as leaders or as the pastor, you may not be in the know because that person may go to another leader, may talk to one of the congregation members, one of the lay members, and they need to know immediately what to do, who to contact, because timing is of the essence. T is for timing. Timing is of the essence. Impression is of the essence. The degree of risk. These two things, just those two things, digging in that dirt, are of great importance. Your key tool is discernment. So we need to be prepared. We need to get under the dirt. We need to pull those roots up. We need to focus on, our discernment and being able to clarify what that problem is, what those problems are, find those roots, label those roots, reflect using your tools and identifying that vein that supplies life to that enemy. Our job is to kill that enemy, kill it dead, kill that vein, find that root. We want to cut off the lifeline. And so I have about 7 minutes left. If you have questions, you may dial in 818-572-2919. Again, that's 818-572-2919. If you got a question, I have about 7 minutes. The next, as we move on in this series, we're going to talk about formulating a plan to help the caller. So we have to have a plan because, see, they've got a plan. Now, what is our plan? So now that they have a plan, we need to have a plan too. And this is why we talk about making sure that we are prepared. Now, if it's an emergency and something comes up, unexpectedly, if you do not have time and someone walks in your office and you do not have time to hear this person out, talk to this person, do not start. That is another key thing I want to say. Do not start something you cannot finish. So in other words, if you have to be somewhere, if you've got an appointment, if you got to go to work, if you have to pick up your child, find someone who has time. Or if you are able to cancel your appointment, reschedule, have someone else pick up that child. If it's essential that you need to go to the store, see if someone else can go to the store, if the store is about to close or postpone it, assess that situation. But if you do not have time, find someone else who can. Because, again, you don't want to rush this person because that person already feels like some people are not hearing them, that they're looked over, that their needs are not being met. Remember, we go back to that autonomy, the need for love. So by you rushing them, you are validating what they already feel. Wrong answer. So if you don't have time, don't start. find someone who has time, pick up the phone, find someone else that is able to assist this person in the manner that they should go. And then, of course, I always tell you to pray if that person is willing to allow you to pray. Because remember, that person feels hopeless, helpless, and helpless. So we want to instill hope. As long as that person can find some hope, our job is to give them some hope. We know that we have a hope that's everlasting. We know that we have a hope that's eternal. So we need to impart some hope in this person who feels hopeless. They are walking in hopelessness. They are walking in helplessness. And our job, our assignment, is to give this person purpose. Purpose. So this is what we need to be prepared for. And I stress that with a sincere heart. And again, I say, if you are not ready or you are not able to ask that a very important question, I see or you say that you are sad, I hear you say that you know there's just no other reason to live. I hear you say, are you contemplating suicide? You need to get it out there. You need to get that question out there so that you can assess the situation quickly. And then once that person gives you that yes, then we move to the next level, the next part, the next stage, the next step. And again, if you are unable to do this, then call, pick up the phone. Okay, so I have about 2 minutes left, and I'm going to kind of stop right here, play some music, and when we come back next week, we're going to talk about us formulating a plan, being ready, having our guard ready to be able to assist this person, make sure that you get your pen, your paper, because in all that we do, we must have a strategy. We must have a plan in order to fight those, to come against those unseemly, unsurmountable issues in life, in order to help this person be free in their mind, to annihilate the psychic that they have in their head. We need to have a plan. And remember, if you don't remember anything else, remember your tool of discernment. And remember that is the key tool in all of this, the major tool. And as we continue to dig under the dirt and pull up those roots and use our discernment, we're going to be able to focus and find and kill and the vein that supplies life to this enemy called suicide. It has been great. I just like to say welcome to those that have joined me in the chat room. If you have anything to say or you have questions, you may contact me again at odds_against_U@yahoo.com. You may email me and I will respond. Make sure that you put Victory Against All Odds in the subject line so that it doesn't go to spam or so that it is overlooked. And again, you may also contact me on the Victory voicemail confidential line at 641-715-3900, extension 343-658#. You may write me at P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina 27611. Again, that's Victory Against All Odds, P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina 27611. Ooh, we have had an awesome time talking about the dirt, you know, getting into the and with that, I'll see those that are in the chat room if they have something to say. And if not, then we are going to close out for the evening. And join me again right here on Victory Against All Odds, Block Talk Radio at 7:30, and we will continue our discussion. Let's see. God bless you. This is Victory Against All Odds. You're on the air. You have a question or comment?
Hello?
Greetings.
Hi. Hi, Prophetess Benton. Praise the Lord. Just tuning in here just at the last minute here and just catching some of the points that you're giving to the listeners, and we're just thankful to God for using you to make a difference, and we're lifting you up in prayer, and we know that there'll be many that will be set free and delivered, and there'll be just an overwhelming response of praise reports and the report of the Lord coming from the components that you're giving your listeners in fighting the good fight of faith and just standing firm on what they believe and how that they can manage and become an overcomer. So we just thank God for you tonight. Just good just tuning in just for the final few minutes here on the broadcast. Know that we love you, and we'll lift you up in prayer. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you so much for your words of encouragement on this evening. And I thank God for you as well, Apostle, as we, as you say, fight this good fight of faith and just giving the listeners some tools as we've been talking about the crisis in America of suicide. And I was sharing earlier the story of Don Cornelius, you know, the founder of Soul Train. You know, he committed suicide and was just sharing and validating what we've talked about in terms of what we call psych ache and how he, because of a series of events, including the divorce from his wife and a terminal illness, and then on top of that, he had some issues with the law. He was just in so much pain, you know, that he took his life. And so we just kind of shared that current event, if you will, and to kind of identify with some of what we've talked about here as we talk about suicide and using our tool of discernment. Which is very powerful when we are dealing with a person who is suicidal and being able to provide them with the needs that they need in order to have a change of mind and to annihilate that psych ache, if you will. And so I thank God for you joining us, and I have given them some powerful things that will assist them as we go about our daily lives, you know, because you just never know from a day-to-day basis as we go through our day-to-day activities when we may encounter someone who has lost all hope. And one of the things that I explained was that we need to give this person some hope.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you for joining me, too. I appreciate that. I really do.
You're welcome.
Amen. Okay, well, I am done. Until next week, thank you all for listening, and thank you for tuning in as we conclude this third part of Suicide Crisis in America. Make sure that when all that you do, that you learn to forgive. When you forgive, you take the control. When you don't forgive, you allow someone to control you. So whatever you do, remember to forgive and be blessed. Walk in your freedom and walk in your victory. And no matter what it looks like, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the test, we all have victory against all odds when we know how to use our tools. Amen. Have a good night.
Much, yeah.
Jesus.
To be humble. because I got Jesus. When I think of his goodness and what he's done. When I think of his goodness and what he's done. Look at him, oh, I gotta give him glory.
Good night.